We may be, and I do believe we are, the terminal generation. That's terminal in a good sense. We don't have a terminal disease. We are going to be rid of a diseased planet and go to our heavenly home, and that makes us terminal in a good way. So I want to cover these signs real quickly, and as I do that, please understand that I get it that a lot of the so-called signs of the times, they're really a reference to things happening in the tribulation. Not everything. We've got lots of things for the church age as well. But even the tribulation signs, and there are just tons of those, are casting their shadow now. We see them begin to form now. And what does that say? That says that the King is coming perhaps today. So let me just go over, I picked out 15, I could pick out 115, 215 things that I see going on in our society today that we should be paying attention to. Honestly, the calls for peace and security, which come out of 1 Thessalonians 5, we all know the verse. Couple of verses. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying there is peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. And quite frankly, the rapture is not going to surprise many of us, and many of us sitting here. Certainly the United Nations maintain international peace and security. That's their theme. Together for peace, respect safety and dignity for all, and maintain international peace and security. Again, they're just screaming it. And it's not just the UN. And I have a clip here I want to play in just a minute. But the UN has a plan to restore international peace and security. It's using the very terms out of the Bible. I mean, isn't that not an awesome thing to see happening if you're paying attention? And of course, many believers aren't paying attention. Donald Trump, we have laid out a pathway toward peace and security in our world. I'm going to play just a clip here of some people who are talking about the peace and security. The audio is not the best, but I felt that the overall message was probably worth the audio quality, so let me just play a clip here.
The objective is to have a Palestinian state on the borders of 1967 that will live in
peace and security.
The lesson of history is that peace and security do not come easily.
Peace and stability that people on all sides long for.
Two states for two peoples living side by side in peace and security is not a vague slogan, but a real necessary necessity for the stability in the entire region.
Israel and Palestinians, they can live side by side in peace and security. This is our vision, this is our commitment.
Slowly, you deal. And security and friendship.
My hopes and dreams for Israel are to live in peace. To live in peace and security.
Two states living side by side in peace and security. True security for all Israelis. We will also pursue peace between Israel and Lebanon.
In peace and security.
Israel and Syria.
Peace and security.
And a broader peace between Israel and its many neighbors. Must decide whether we are serious about peace and security. To recognize Israel's legitimacy and its right to exist in peace and security. That's how we will find new pathways to peace and security. That is the work that we must do.
New peace and security.
Peace and security and coexistence.
A movement towards peace. If we have this triangle, economy, security, and peace, then peace can succeed.
Okay, so I think we get the point. There's a longing for peace and security, comes right out of the Bible. If we're paying attention, you can't miss it. Number two, I really believe that the Lord's return is going to come in a season that you could call business as usual around the world. People enjoying life. I found this picture. I saw it on the internet somewhere. Enjoying a golf game, even though all around them is chaos. And they're able to shut out the chaos. And that's kind of tragic, really, because folks like this are going to be caught unawares. I trust none of us are caught unawares, but to be honest, I will tell you, much of the church will be. Much of the church is sleeping. We talked a little bit Thursday night about the state of the church, and I've got more to say here as we move along. But again, this eating, drinking, enjoying life. Now, personally, and we also have some, what I would call, prosperity. I honestly believe, and again, as I said Thursday night, I voted for Donald Trump. I'm not here to be praising or denigrating a president, but we have peace and prosperity, at least as I speak. Stock surge. Big corporate tax cut in the United States will bring more prosperity to China, Europe. President Trump surfs a prosperity wave that could grow larger. And I believe that it's this kind of a climate. People are enjoying life, they're prospering, and some are going to be caught off guard, because that will be the season of the Lord's return, and it will be that kind of a climate when he does return. So are we paying attention as we prosper? Many are just driving the islands here the last 2-3 days, and I see people, I see the tourists and others just casually enjoying life. Are they giving a thought to eternity? I think many of them are not. Okay, sign number three that I think needs to be talked about is the mocking and scoffing that is found, of course, in that verse we all know, knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the day the fathers fell asleep, all continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, let me just spend an extra minute here. Newsweek magazine just recently was online. Trump will start the end of the world, claim evangelicals who support him. Frankly, if he could bring on the rapture, it's okay by me, but, as I just said, I think he's kind of creating a climate of, as I already said, prosperity. The Rapture Palooza, this was a movie, a Hollywood movie, some 5, 6, 7 years ago. I saw it. I believe I saw it online. And it mocked everything. It was even making, within the film, it was even making fun of all the plagues that were happening. I couldn't believe it, because when that happens, folks, you won't be laughing. It was comedy. Everything was hysterical. Folks, when the seals and the other catastrophes of the tribulation start to play, no one will be laughing. Everyone will be crying. Last Days Madness, that comes from a Christian, Gary DeMar. He happens to be a preterist, and he's always on my case. And he has called my conference Jan Markell's End Time Hysteria Conference. This is a brother in the Lord. People are getting saved at this event. Many, many, many are getting saved. And yet a brother in the Lord is mocking this, calling it a hysteria conference. He's a preterist. He believes all prophecy happened in 70 A.D. There's nothing going to happen, perhaps, but the second coming. Hank Hanegraaff, second service. I'm going to talk a little bit more about him. I'm going to play a clip of him. Somebody calls in and says, Hank, where do you find the rapture in the Bible? Well, it's not there. You can't find the rapture in the Bible. There's no such thing. This man speaks to millions of people daily. He's on his way out now for various reasons, but in 30 years he's done damage that's incalculable. He has a print journal, Christian Research Journal, that when the truth gets left behind, this whole periodical, I believe it was 03 or 04, I saw it, mocking what we believe, mocking dispensationalism, mocking the rapture, mocking left behind, when the truth gets left behind. So, again, 2 Peter 3 just absolutely on overdrive with the mocking, the laughing, the scoffing, even coming from brothers and sisters in the Lord, laughing at us, Pastor JD, at me. And then the other issue related to that would be the mocking and the scoffing of the pre-trib rapture. Your pastor and myself were caught up in that for 6 to 8 months this past year, and several, and one particular was making YouTubes mocking us because our crime was we believed the king is coming soon, the church will be taken out. That was our offense. So it was unbelievable. It really was. I'm going to play another short video here, and this is a trailer for a 4-hour film, and all it does is mock the truth, and that would be the truth of the pre-trib rapture. Again, this is all fulfilling scripture, so we need to look at it from, you know, a little bit more optimistic, positive position, that this is all fulfilling scripture. So from that perspective, you know, praise the Lord, bring it on, and it's just heralding his soon return. Here comes this little video. Sorry.
It gets worse.
I'll explain
just
when we're
this
done.
Week, Michelle Bachmann actually predicted that I would bring about the biblical end of days. Now that's a legacy. That's big. I mean, Lincoln, Washington, they didn't do that.
This was probably 2 Aprils ago. I had Michelle Bachmann on air with me, as I do all the time, and we were talking about things of end time significance, and she said on my program, Barack Obama is going to bring about the end of days just because of some policies. And he got wind of that, and at the press dinner a month later, that's what he was talking about. So, Pastor JD, you may end up on, we talked about it at a press dinner one of these days, too, if you keep coming on the program. Yeah. Okay, I'll get to that other little segment I talked about in just a little bit. I've got 3 presentations, and they get kind of scrambled in my head. Number 4. Now, this is touchy, and please bear with me, okay? And let's not look at this that we're going to deal with as gloom and doom necessarily. We've got some troubling pictures here. But the Bible says that in the last days, and obviously it blossoms in the tribulation, but casting a shadow now, mankind's character will decline. It will be given over to a depraved mind. Keep that word in mind, depraved. Evil will wax worse and worse. The focus will be on self, money. We find this in Romans 1. We find it in 2 Timothy 3. We find it in Matthew 24. Of course, Matthew 24, heavily a tribulation passage. Again, it's casting its shadow now before the tribulation. Okay, we've just gone through, talking about this decline in character and depraved mind. We've just been through this Parkland, Florida. Your pastor had a remarkable presentation on the demonic aspect of it. I don't want to dwell on that. It is important. This happened on Ash Wednesday. I don't think that's a coincidence. That's a day that's important to many Christians. Many are raised with that tradition, as the girl in front of you here has a cross on her forehead. And the young man who did this said that he heard voices telling him to carry out the massacre. Now, again, we've got this rise of evil, this rise of a depraved mind, this rise of things that are very, very dark. Again, let's not see it as doom and gloom. Let's see it as a herald of his coming. Let's also see it as the hour is late. We need to be sharing the gospel. I'll say more about that. This was an interesting headline I saw, the Washington Post editorial. And I read the article, and the article said, hey, folks, Satan is good. He's a good example of secularism. Christians are responsible for Charlottesville. We don't like them. Well, we get that. But heralding Satan? Satan is good? Because he's an example of secularism? You realize how serious this is when a major journal celebrates this kind of wickedness. We have sunk. This is a stunning picture of a transgender and his, her partner. Proud of their behavior. Simply proud of it. And this is even more stunning, I'm sorry to say. This gal or guy, this little boy, I think, 8-year-old drag queen says, if your parents won't let you do drag, you need new parents. Is this days of Noah or what? You know those days are coming back? It's predicted. Ultimately, we'll blossom in the tribulation. It's casting its shadow now. Clergy bless late-term abortion clinic as holy. This is days of Noah behavior. This is what they did in the days of Noah. Those days were interrupted by a flood. The rapture is a type of the flood. It will rescue the church from the tribulation as those days of Noah return. I think they're here. They're going to get a lot worse. And when we're gone, they'll be unspeakably bad. Okay, let's number five. A soaring strong delusion. And that's tied in with the previous bullet point number four. Soaring strong delusion. Let me just give a few examples. It makes no sense when you hear the secular world say things like, hold on here, like John Kerry, climate change is as dangerous as terrorism. Oh, really? All bathrooms should be transgender. In Canada, it's now, they've passed a law, they can seize children from Christian homes. And there's a new law in America now that can take children away from parents if they don't accept the kid's gender identity. Again, this is delusion. You see, when we turn from God, when you turn from God, when you abandon God, when you say, we don't need you, God, we not only don't need you, we don't like you. He turns you over to a depraved, reprobate mind. Up is down, black is white, good is evil, evil is good. And those are the days we're living in. They will get a whole lot worse during the tribulation. And we're in a run-up to that. So we're sort of just gaining steam on all of this. Okay, point number six that I see. Again, these are what I would see as signs that are pointing to his imminent return. And since you folks had Pastor Billy Crone here, you're somewhat aware of the surge in technology. I believe it's Mark of the Beast technology, the surge in drone, artificial intelligence. Amazon wants to put a camera and microphone in your bedroom. Echo Look will use machine learning to decide if you look fat in that shirt. Machines are taking over. They really are. And I believe this is a classic sign that something is up ahead. And that something that's up ahead is the Lord's return. Artificial intelligence. I'll tell you, I just did two programs with Pastor Billy Crone a month ago. Did 2 weeks with him. And the listening audience, I believe, was, if I can use the word stunned, they were stunned. And we played some clips of Sophia, the robot. You can have not only a conversation with Sophia, she might have a more interesting conversation with you than your spouse. She is interesting. She is intelligent. It's all artificial. It's all man-made. But she is something else. As a matter of fact, now Sophia is on the cover of a fashion magazine. So now she's a model. Who would have thought this 10, 15, 20 years ago? Certainly 30, 40 years ago. Who would have thought this? I just find it... This was a newspaper article, USA Today. You will get chipped eventually. Well, we're going to be gone before this is going to be happening, you know, forced on people. But if we're talking about it here so casually, hey, you're going to get chipped eventually. Just accept it. Get over it. How soon is it? How soon then? His return. Imminent. Imminent. Okay, there is interesting, I think there's third temple talk that is incredible. I've been to Israel on numerous occasions. I led tours there some years ago. And we've walked in the area where that temple is going to be built. They're laying the groundwork for a third temple in Jerusalem. The Temple Institute creates vestments, ritual items for use in future temple and lobbies for more Jewish access to the Temple Mount. The Israelis, who take rebuilding the Third Temple very seriously, prophecy ministries are beginning to take it very, very seriously, featuring it on their TV and radio programs, as have I. And I found this to be very interesting. The Sanhedrin mints a coin with images of Trump and Cyrus to promote rebuilding the temple. Well, and there is a coin. I've seen the coin. The side by side. Now, I don't know if that has deeper implications. I simply don't know. But they're using it right now to promote rebuilding the temple. Now, are we ever going to see this? No. This is going to happen someday. This will happen. That's the Tribulation Temple, where it's supposed to be. It's obviously a painting. It's where it's supposed to be. This is the building that the Antichrist goes in, and 3.5 years into the tribulation, he turns on the Jews. First, he let them build this temple. Remember, everything's getting ready. Everything. The priests are getting ready. The utensils are getting ready. The vestments are getting ready. So the Antichrist will let them build this temple. This scene will take place someday, I think soon. We'll be gone. This will be built. The Jews will be ecstatic because they're trusting in the Antichrist. And then he turns on them 3.5 years into the tribulation. He really, really turns on them. And then the great tribulation ensues. Okay, point number 8. Is this Mideast activity in alignment? And you've heard, some of this won't be new to you, but we all know that there's an alignment going on. I want to spend just an extra minute on it. Israel said to strike targets near Damascus. We're going to wake up one of these mornings. Damascus is going to be obliterated, Isaiah 17. I think Israel will do it. She could do it next week. Really, she could. She has to. Iran has moved into Syria. ISIS has been so weakened, they're kind of on the way out. Iran's taken advantage of that, moved into Syria. And that is causing Israel to get extremely nervous. Israel attacks targets in Syria after Iranian drone enters Israeli airspace, jet crashes. Times of Israel, waving piece of downed drone, Prime Minister threatens direct military action against Iran. I think we all know what's forming. And I was listening last night on my iPad. I was listening to Pastor Jack Hibbs. Sorry about that somehow the title got blended in with the picture. Sorry. I think that was in the stretching process. Listening to Pastor Jack Hibbs and Amir Sarfati talking about this very scenario, which is on the horizon, we don't know the timing. I don't know that it's clear if the timing is before the tribulation or during the tribulation. The verdict is out. Many take one position, others take another position. All we know is it's aligned, it's forming, it's going to happen. Despite Haley's threat, here again, we've got Zechariah 12:3, the burdensome stone, absolutely again on overdrive, and the burdensome stone is Jerusalem. That's the city to which the Lord returns, Jerusalem. Despite Haley's threat, UN votes to condemn Trump's Jerusalem decision. Despair and defiance as Donald Trump declares Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Fury across the Middle East as leaders condemn President Donald Trump after he says Jerusalem is Israel's capital. Protests held worldwide against Jerusalem capital move. Arabs, Europe, UN reject Trump's recognition. So again, well, they're upset, not to be surprised. What does the Bible say? This is all a herald of his coming. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. The Lord began building up Zion about 130 years ago in the late 1880s, the late 1800s, about 1880, 1890. Jews were coming from Europe and Russia into the complete swamplands, malaria infested. And they began building up Zion, building up Zion, building up Zion. Well, what a sight. And now, 130 years later, those of you who've been to it know what a miracle it is. All right, number 9. We're going to get to 15 of these major signs. And I touched a little this a bit on Thursday night, this longing for a leader. And I said I wanted to spend an extra minute on it today. Because, and again, we looked at that CNN homepage, that's a couple of years ago, who can make it stop? Down in the corner, is there a leader who can stop the chaos and heal America? It's going to get worse. With the shootings and all, it's going to get worse because we're just going to move further and further and further into the end of days, into the last days, the last of the last days. Again, see it as a herald of his coming. Please see it not as doom and gloom, but a harbinger of his return when you see these kinds of headlines. That way they won't trouble you as much. Again, the cry for a savior and a global leader. Emmanuel Macron, keep your eyes on him. I believe he's an apocalyptic player. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. We don't know those things. I just think he'll fit into some end time role. He wants to rule Europe. That he has so stated. We talked about that Thursday. And he says, Emmanuel Bonaparte, Macron declares he will govern like a Roman god. He's president of France. He got in a year ago, sounded everyone. And I just think he's a very suspicious character. Again, I don't think he's the Antichrist. I don't think he's popular enough. And the Antichrist is going to be extremely popular. But he's certainly a forerunner. For sure. Paul Henry Spock said, and again, I had some copy cut off here in the stretching of the slides. I apologize. Paul Henry Spock, and I don't know if I'm, I can read it anyway, says, back in 1957, what we want, he's a representative of NATO. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the alliances of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. He goes on to say, be he God or devil, we will receive him. This is 1957. This man said this. This longing for a leader, 60 years later, practically, longing for a leader, a savior, be he God or devil, the secular world will receive him, okay? All right, number 10. An unconventional pope. I personally believe, and I'm going out on a limb here, but I do believe it, a pope will be the false prophet. This current weekend's radio, I have Bill Salas on, and we talk about Mystery Babylon. I believe Rome is Mystery Babylon. That's up for debate, spirited debate. Some think it's Mecca, some think it's New York, some think it's Babylon in Iraq, some think it's Jerusalem. I think it's clear that it's Rome, and I think that a pope will play a very important role. I encourage you to tune in. I air on a couple of sources here, and you can always listen on my website, oneplace.com, as well, as we discuss just what is the role of the possible role of the Vatican in this whole scenario here. So Pope Francis, the unconventional, indeed, and I talked about him a little bit Thursday night. Social justice, that is his call, that is his passion, social justice, not spreading the gospel. And he is a charismatic and unconventional leader who touches people's heart. And this next picture is troubling. When you start to see that Turkey's Erdogan and Pope Francis form an unholy anti-Trump alliance to control Jerusalem, be concerned. They formed an anti-Trump alliance to control Jerusalem. A pope? Why would a pope get involved in such a remarkable kind of a gesture here to control Jerusalem with Turkey, part of the Gog Magog alliance? Let's go back to Revelation 17. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads, 10 horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones, pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. Well, again, I'm sad to say that the Catholic Church is drunk with the blood of the saints. And they have martyred many, many Christians throughout history and Jews. And again, I believe Rome is Mystery Babylon. I think we have to keep our eyes on Rome. It may not be Pope Francis. He may have to step down. Somebody else will step in. And I think that person will play the same kind of a role. Same kind of a role. And this gentleman, this is a official of the Catholic Church in Colombia, South America. And you can Google this and you can find it. It'll come up right away. Pope Francis, it's a Catholic. This is not a Protestant. It's a Catholic leader. Pope Francis is paving the way for the Antichrist. Catholic leader is saying that. So I just think we need to keep our eyes on, again, that what I would believe to be Babylon, and that would be all of Rome. All that it contained in Rome. Okay, let's move on. Point number 11. And that would be a world without borders. Now, I spent a lot of time on that Thursday night on the rush to globalism, the rush to one worldism, the longing for, shall we say, the longing for a world without borders. And I tried to explain that in the minds of some, it's simply that way everyone will have equal pay, equal status. Everything is equal, equal, equal. If we can have a world without just one world, one leader, everything and everyone will be equal. So that's part of the appeal of one world. I brought in the environmental movement because pollution knows no borders. We should have no borders. I tried to explain all that Thursday night, and that is available on DVD through my website. I'll say more as I close. And again, I tried to bring out the fact that the one who threw the monkey wrench into the globalist plan for 2018 going forward, 2017 going forward was Donald Trump, the ultimate nationalist. The world, according to Trump, the anti-globalist agenda. He's a nationalist first, and I kind of made the case for that Thursday night. And this was a headline here right after the election of 2016. Who is Donald Trump? Why the U.S. globalist elites dread President-elect Donald Trump. That's back in 2016, right after he was elected. So the globalists simply don't know what to do with the fact that, you know, their candidate, and I don't have to use her name probably, but I think we know, their candidate, who was slam dunk, no-brainer, going to win 2016, November, didn't happen. Instead, we have President Nationalist Donald Trump. And so he's thrown this globalist plan into a temporary halt. Temporarily, they're going to have to wait, that's all. And they're not waiting very patiently. Let me spend just an extra minute on this. Sign number 12. I've never seen it so bad. As Pastor J.D. said, he was at my 40th anniversary in ministry. I've seen a lot of false doctrine. I just wrote a chapter for Terry James in his new book called Deceivers. And just one chapter, and as I was writing it, I think it was 30 pages, 34, at least 30, I started, it was on deception in the church. I was overwhelmed. Here are just some of the streams that have now moved into the church. We've got postmodernism. This needs a book, not a chapter. We've got social gospel religious left. We've got seeker sensitive, water everything down. Don't preach the gospel. The Joel Osteen type of church. New Apostolic Reformation, NAR. It's not healthy. None of this is. The so-called prophets for profit. All of this infecting the church. Holy laughter. I've seen it online. It's shocking. Mysticism or contemplative prayer. Let's all be like the Buddhists. I graduated from Bethel College in St. Paul, Minnesota, and some 5-6 years ago, they brought in a Buddhist, and the kids, and I went and visited, a number of us did. They presented him to the students, and he sat there, and he talked about Buddhism and the way he prays, his contemplative type prayer. And you kids got to do this now. Teaching kids to be Buddhists in a Christian college that used to be solid as a rock. It's the rush to this contemplative mysticism. So it's everywhere. Dominionism, kingdom now. The church is going to make the world perfect. How's that working out? Church is going to make the world perfect, and then Jesus can come back only when the church makes the world perfect. It's rampant, that theology. Latter rain has the same type of theology. Amillennialism allegorizes everything. They would never believe in a rapture because they don't take anything literally. I saw a bumper sticker recently, a car in front of me. In case of rapture, this amillennialist will be shocked. Think about it. They don't believe in it. This amillennialist will be shocked. So everything is allegorized. Postmillennialism. Again, Jesus is going to come back at the end of the millennium. Protestants are moving towards Catholicism. Big time. Big time. Note to Bible prophecy. The most frequent email I get, the most every day. Can you recommend a church in the city you fill in the blank? Every state, including parts of Western Europe and New Zealand and Australia. Moving away from Israel support. And I'm going to talk about some of these things a little bit more in the second service because it's a totally different message. Replacement theology. The church is the new Israel. I can't tell you how this is gaining traction even among evangelicals. It used to be only mainline Protestants, Catholics. Now it's everyone. Christian Palestinianism. Again, Jesus was a Palestinian. How many of you remember Yasser Arafat being lowered from a helicopter, I believe either Church of Holy Sepulchre or one of those big churches in Israel, lowered to the roof. I mean, was this supposed to be the rapture? Perhaps. But he was being deified, Yasser Arafat. This would have been maybe 04. That's Christian Palestinianism. It's huge. I'll play a clip of somebody recommending it next service. Again, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, last weekend I did a program on Christ alignment. Let me just summarize real brief. It comes out of Australia. They use what they call destiny cards. So the destiny cards are a form of Christianized tarot cards. Next, we're going to have Ouija boards, Christianized Ouija boards and Christianized seances in the church. These are Christians. They are professing Christians. They say they're using this for their evangelistic tactics. They'll go to various conferences and New Age gatherings and set their table up and give readings. But it's sanctified. Are you kidding me? Tapping into the New Age and the occult is sanctified. That's called Christ alignment. And it's starting to spread to churches in America. So again, I never thought I would see the day. A lot of years of ministry, but today I'm saying more and more, I never thought I would see the day. This is tough to watch, and we're all pretty tired of it, and we had a tough year in 2017, and that's the escalating birth pangs, and I get it that things that happened, and by the way, this is $1 billion disasters in 2017 in the U.S., and they're, you know, catastrophic. You're going to tell me that the birth pangs aren't getting more intense? More and more and more and more intense? This is a little chart. On the far left is 1980. And on the far right is the last 5 years of $1 billion disaster events types by year. 1980 to the present on the far right. You're going to tell me that the various hurricanes, etc., aren't relevant when 27 trillion gallons of water, Hurricane Harvey, fell on Houston? But you know what? We need to put it in perspective, because compared to what's going to happen in the tribulation, this is child's play. When you start reading about the seals and the other activity of the tribulation, it's you don't want to be left behind, folks. You don't want to be left behind. If you remember nothing else of the visit here, anything I share with you, it's you don't want to be left behind. It's going to be so awful. This will seem insignificant compared to what's going to happen during the tribulation. Still, and then point number 14 that I see, the persecution. Again, it'll be unspeakable in the tribulation, but it's happening now. Middle East Christians on the eve of destruction. I'm thankful that since in the year of Donald Trump, far more Christians are coming to America than Muslims. And I'm just very, very thankful that now they do have a place to run to. They didn't for a number of years. They didn't have a haven. And now they're coming to America. But the persecution, German Jewish leader warns that Jews may require police protection as anti-Semitism escalates. Homework. New York students debate exterminating Jews. So, again, this will get seriously worse, be seriously worse during the tribulation. But we see it beginning. We certainly began World War II, we saw the... I wrote a book on it, Trapped in Hitler's Hell, about a young woman who became a Jewish woman who became a Christian during that time. And amazing story. But Jews need police protection in Europe. What do you think they're doing? They're running to Israel. They're emigrating to Israel. The last sign that I'm going to highlight right now is when people are asked, you know, what do you think is the predominant sign of the Lord's return? I mean, we all have always said Israel, rebirth of Israel, the dry bones, Ezekiel 37, the dry bones came back together. That's a miracle, the miracle of all time, not just the miracle of the 20th century, but of all time. It's another word, though. There's something that's even more astounding, and that's the convergence. The convergence of so many things that have taken place, I would say, in the last 10 to 15, certainly 20 years. The convergence is stunning. The convergence of the signs have been phenomenal. As I said, in the last 10 years or so. Just shocking. Not to me, really, and I hope not to many of you. But what we've looked at, please look at as a harbinger of his return. Some of them are dark. Some of these headlines are dark. Some of these stories are dark. Look at them as a harbinger of his return. But here's the thing. For some who are not believers, this is what you need to take home. Time is running out for you. Time is running out. Think about that. Time is running out. That should be a terrifying concept, that time is running out. But the solution is so simple. It's just to turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to become the Lord and Savior of your life. Just tell him, you know what, I've really done a bad job of my life and I want to start all over. If you would come and make me a new creature. Ask him to do that today.